like to share a little thought I feel like the Lord has put on our hearts. And it's glad to be with you all again. It seems like the Lord has just worked it out. But appreciate being here. I'd like to get a scripture to start off with in Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. Says in the 19th verse, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. I'm thinking about this verse and how a brother offended would be somebody that's been hurt, somebody that suffered abuse, mistreatment. It says it's harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions, and that means their arguments, or their justifications, are like the bars of a castle. I wanted to talk about walls just a little bit this morning. This here is speaking of somebody that's shutting themselves off from everybody else. I mean, they're just shutting they've got bars. It's like a strong city, somebody that's hurt. But I want us to recognize, I've been challenged with the thought of walls. I want to say I feel like walls are good. In the Old Testament, there was walls that protected the cities. And they had a gate that they would close in the evening time and open in the morning time that allowed people to go in and out. And I believe our lives are like that in a lot of ways. I believe that we need walls in our life for protection. I need the ability to be able to say yes or to say no. But I need there to be a gate. I need to have a gate that I can open, that I can close in my life to allow people access and allow me access outside. It's not just, we don't want just walls and bars and we don't want just a prison. We want to be able to go in and out. And sometimes people that have been hurt and offended, all they've got is these mighty walls and bars. Their arguments, their contentions that they use to protect themselves with. We've heard a lot about social distancing over the last few months. And I believe we all kind of understand what that's talking about. But I would like to write this on the board. Emotional distancing. I believe the enemy's in this. The enemy is trying to create wedges. He's trying to distance us in our relationships. When you read there in Ephesians about the body of Christ, it talks about them being fitly joined together, that we can receive nourishment from that each joint is able to supply. And fitly joined together gives a picture of something that's close and tight-knit. But I believe the enemy today is working in our time to try to create emotional distancing. The enemy's trying to be able to separate us from close, being able to have close relationships, and be able to enjoy the relationships that God has given to us. I remember a few years ago when my mother had passed, I was back in Enid trying to make funeral arrangements. And some of you don't maybe not know my background a whole lot, but my mother and father divorced when I was very young. I never knew my father in my home. And he was more or less a stranger a lot to me. But my dad had made some pretty bitter statements about what he was going to do when my mom had passed. And I was trying to work on getting the funeral arranged and getting notifying people. And my dad calls me on the phone. And I saw it was him, and I didn't answer it. I didn't feel like I could deal with it at the time. But that night, the Lord gave me this scripture right here that I've read to you this morning about a brother being offended and hurt. And the Lord began to bring things to me till about 2:30 in the morning. The Lord began to speak to my heart things over and over. And I knew the Lord wanted me to go speak to my dad. And that morning I got up and I think I was without wheels. Anyway, I walked downtown to where the restaurant was. He frequents restaurant. He goes to it was called the Wooden Nickel back then, for coffee. Never told him I was coming. Didn't know if he was going to be there, but I just felt God had been talking to me. So we got in there, and sure enough, I round the corner, I saw his van there, and my heart began to beat. And I went in and sat with him, and we began talking, and the conversation kind of centered around Kent for some reason. And after we had talked about him for a little bit, I said, "Your son has something to say to you." And he got real quiet and he started listening. And I told him things that he didn't understand about my mother. He didn't have a clue. And I told him, I said, "I want you to come to the funeral." He looked at me. With big tears in his eyes. And he said, "You're putting the mountain in front of me. You're putting the mountain in front of me." I said, "I realize that. The day of the funeral, he came in to the service." And I told him, I said, "I'm going to save you a seat." And I did. I saved a space next to him for him to come sit by me. He had some strong ideas, arguments, hurts, bitterness. And I know the enemy works to put wedges. And when I began to realize, I felt like the enemy was trying to isolate me also from my dad. He was trying to help me. The enemy was trying to help me to be hurt towards my dad and to begin to put up walls. You know, there's a emotional distancing is not necessarily where you're just completely out of someone's life, but it's where you begin to kind of back off. And you kind of began to just let people do their thing and you do their thing. And there's not a closeness, perhaps, like the Lord would like for there to be. You know, I've noticed marriages that have been, when people have been married for years and years, I've noticed marriages where there got to be a distance between the companion and the, between the spouse and the companions. It didn't start off that way. You know, usually people on their wedding day, they're so, I remember my face was so tired. My muscles in my cheek were so tired of smiling. I was so happy. You know, it was one of the greatest days of my life. But you know, as the years go by and as things happen, the enemy wants to bring in little wedges. And he wants to create little distances. And he wants to create little arguments and contentions that keep us from having a close relationship that God wants us to have. Now, there's a scripture in Peter. It talks about husbands honoring your wives, and it mentions it, it says something to the fact being heirs of the grace of God together. And then it says that your prayers be not hindered. You know, when we allow distance, and we don't make effort to bridge. There's a little saying I remember years ago. It said, "He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in." You know, it's so easy for us to just begin to close people off and, well, they hurt me and they didn't do this right and they didn't, you know, they treated me that way. And it's so easy for us to get offended and just, you know, I'm going to do my thing and let them do their thing. That's emotional distancing. And that's what the devil would really like to work in our society, in our families, in our homes, is to be able to create distance. I want to look now in Scripture in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. The Gospel of Luke, let's see, get the right book here. Luke 10 and 30, he says, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came by, looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor or a friend unto him that fell among thieves?" I want to notice here today that we may not see a lot of people laying on the side of the road physically injured. But I'm going to tell you what. You're going to see a lot of people in life that have been emotionally injured. And it's just as real. Physical wounds, spiritual wounds, emotional wounds are just as real as physical wounds. They're bleeding on the inside. You know, a person that's been wounded, this guy here was not in really any shape to help anybody else. Because he was bleeding. He was, I believe it said, did it say half dead? He wasn't in a place to be able to help someone else. Because his life blood was bleeding out. And you, when your life blood bleeds out, that's your courage. That's your hope. Hope of future. Hope of success. Hope of being able to have a good life, a happy life. Those things begin to bleed out of people that have been wounded or hurt. Now, I don't know, the scripture really doesn't say why the priest and the Levite, they saw the man and they passed by on the other side. And this scripture has always been a challenge to me because the ones that should have stopped didn't. The ones that should have stopped didn't stop. They went on by. I don't know if it was their fear. Sometimes fear causes us to not want to become involved. You know, when there is a wreck or something in people's lives, dealing with problems takes a lot of emotional energy. There's a drain. There's time. There's effort. There's prayer. There's a drain. And it's just easy for us to just think, you know, we just conveniently kind of walk on by the problem or the situation. You know, sometimes fear causes us to fear immobilizes. It stalls. It cripples us. It confines us. And it keeps us from hearing the voice of God. When Adam was in the garden and they had sinned, the Lord came looking for them. And the Lord asked, "Where art thou?" And you know, he was ashamed. He was hiding. But at that point, he felt vulnerable. He felt his weakness. He felt he was being exposed. And it's that way when we begin to reach out to help people, we're putting we're putting ourselves on the line, so to speak. We're exposing ourselves, and there can be a temptation just to hide, like Adam did, like these other guys did. They hid, they went, they just walked another way. They didn't minister help. Fear does those things to us. And you remember the scripture about the talents, the one that was afraid, it said he went and digged in the earth and hid his talent, what God had given him to use. He was afraid to use what God had given him. I want to challenge us all today. We will all, and it's right close to home sometimes. It's right at our doorstep sometimes. And from fear, we can kind of just emotionally distance ourselves from what's really needed. Lord, help us today to recognize. I wanted to read you a little list of symptoms of a wounded spirit. Alcoholism. Drug addiction. Compulsive gambling. eating disorders, either over or under. Perfectionism, overachieving, workaholism, depression, shame, guilt, blaming, denial, self-centeredness, exaggeration, immaturity, low self-esteem, inhibitions, controlism, bitterness, unforgiveness, sarcasm, negativity, apathy, which is a lack of feeling or emotion, impassiveness, lack of interest. These are signs, these are things that when we look at from the surface, they turn us off. And sometimes we think, they ought to know better. But Jesus looked beyond these habits, these traits of a wounded heart, and he sought to meet people's need. You know, sometimes the people that turn us off the most are the ones that need us the most. Those are signs of a wounded heart. They're dealing with things sometimes people don't even know really hardly what they're dealing with. They're struggling in life and it seems like they never get anywhere. They're on a slippery slope. They just keep sliding back down in all their efforts. Lord, help us today to have a compassion, a love that helps us to look beyond our own inadequacies and our own comforts, to help us to reach out, to be, when we recognize and we see, and Lord, help us to, you know, Jesus, when he was here, he always saw things differently than what everybody else was seeing. Seemed like people were always distracted. The woman that came and gave all the, that broke that alabaster box of perfume. Everybody in the crowd, they were like, what a waste. Jesus was looking on the heart. He was looking deeper into the life. And it meant something to him. Jesus always saw things differently than what people did. And it was because he saw... You know, different places of Scripture, he talked about we are like sheep that have all gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord saw us as needy, as like a lamb that doesn't have any defenses. That's how he views people. When he came into Jerusalem, it said he wept over Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered you? Lord, help us today not to be turned off by the behaviors of people. Help us to be strong enough and mature in love in our walk with God, in our walk with Him, to be able to reach out. You know, Jesus had mentioned that He touched the leper. He reached out. You know, a leper was someone that had social distancing. They had to ring a bell everywhere they go. I'm a leper. I'm a leper. And people would get away. People would move out of their way. They didn't want to get close to them. But Jesus touched the leper. He reached out to touch those that were unwanted. Those that society had rejected. Lord, help us today to have that same love and to overcome our fears and to be what God is calling us to be. God can bless and help us. I want to mention just a little bit about, I want to read another list. These are, when I grew up, I realize now I believe that my mother loved me. Now that I've gotten older, I believe that. When I was a child, I didn't believe that. Because as I've gotten older, I've realized that my mother had issues that she was dealing with that she couldn't handle. She couldn't meet my needs because her needs were not met. And basically how I grew up was just my mom did her thing and I did my thing. That's how I grew up. My mom did her, out of all the years of sports that I played basketball, football, baseball from second grade. Out of all those years of sports that I played, my mother came to two games that whole time. And my dad, I don't ever remember him being at any of mine. That's the way I grew up. I've been learning that there are emotional needs that all of us have. It doesn't matter how old we are or how young, it's we need, some of us are more needy than others. But I want to say this, that if we didn't have it as a child, if we were emotionally distant from our parents and we couldn't converse with them and we couldn't talk with them, you know, it's very difficult for us to learn how to be emotionally connected with others. It's hard for us to know how to connect. It's hard for us to be able to recognize our need of connection. But you know, I believe with all my heart this morning that God works through other people's lives to minister to us. That's what Ephesians talks about, being connected to the body. We receive one from another. And if we didn't have that connection as children, it makes it very difficult for us to learn. But I'm encouraged today that we can learn. We can learn new skills. I thought about this word. You know, it's mentioned, he bound up his wounds. The Good Samaritan bound up his wounds. And a while back, I began to question. I thought, well, how did the Lord bind up people's wounds? I mean, the Lord did that. The scriptures prophesy that he would heal the brokenhearted. And I believe another place it said that he would bind up the broken. You know, there's when you have sprained an ankle, broken a leg, there's something comforting about compression. When you're bleeding, there's something comforting about putting a little bit of pressure on the wound, being something, a sore being wrapped up. You know, children, sometimes it's not so much even the what's been done, it's just many times it's the attention you give them. They feel comforted by the attention that has been given. But it came to me that Jesus bound up by giving people hope. Yes, that's right. The woman that was taken in adultery in the very act, brought to him, they were ready to cast stones. And they asked Jesus, what sayest thou? Jesus mentioned to her, he said, well, later when they left out, he said, he that is without sin cast the first stone. And they all went out one by one. And he asked her, he said, does no man condemn thee? And she said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Can you put it, I want just picture a moment, you being dragged in front of a public audience and your sin being made known before the whole crowd. That would be a wound, wouldn't it? That would hurt. But Jesus bound up her wound and her hurt. Neither do I condemn you. He gave her hope of a future, a forgiveness, of love. That's what helps bind. And we have that through the scriptures. I wanted to mention basic emotional needs. Security. I tell you, when I read this list, I missed out on a lot. I had many situations in my growing up years where I thought I might die. And the police was involved. Making people feel safe, that's an emotional need. Volition, power to make choices. Do you know we have to give that to people? We have to give them a power. If we try to control them, that's not healthy. We've got to give them, and every person, power to make a choice. Attention, receiving and giving attention. Doesn't that feel good? When someone gives you attention and they talk and they listen. Just to share just a side note here, there's different degrees of, you know, it's easy sometimes for us, especially guys, we can talk about the weather, we can talk about politics, we talk about so many issues, but sometimes it's hard to open that emotional door and share our real thoughts and our real feelings that we're feeling inside. It's hard to do that, especially when we didn't have it as children. Another emotional need is emotional connection, need to feel connected to other people. Connection to community, need to feel connected to something greater. Privacy, mental and emotional well-being require we have time and space to reflect and learn from our experience. You know, in a marriage, in close relationships, the wife has to have walls and the husband needs walls too. There needs to be a respect and honor for a person's likes, for their dislikes, their taste. If we just disregard those things and we just ride over and run over, then we're going to hurt. We're going to injure. But a wall tells me, you know, a wall tells me that there's a boundary here. You know, fences that get trampled down and climbed over and the posts rotted out and there's not much barrier there. Just people trespass all the time. And Jesus talked about trespasses. And he talked about if your brother trespasses against thee, go to him and tell him his fault. You know, there is a place for us when we've been dishonored and trespassed against by a brother to let that be known. That is helping them recognize that, hey, you crossed the line here. There's a fence here. And we need that. We need to respect and honor one another. A sense of value and achievement. We need to have a sense that we are accomplishing things of value. Don't we all want to feel that way? That my life has value, that it has purpose, that it has meaning. Every person needs that. And we want to be able to give that. We want to be able to help people recognize their value. And our life has meaning. Our life has purpose. You know, why do people commit suicide? They lose hope. They don't feel like their life has meaning. They don't feel like their life has purpose. And they feel like everybody would be better off without them. That's a lie of the enemy. And you know, I've heard people say, you know, about people that commit a suicide, it's like they never knew. They were just so shocked that happened. They were just totally unaware. You know, part of that's because this right here, emotional distancing. We don't really seek to find out what really is working in a person's heart and mind. There's a song I wanted to just mention. It's called Turn Your Heart Towards Home. It said, late in the evening when everyone was sleeping, the father of the wayward son slipped out in the night and looked toward the city and wiped away the tears and prayed his son could hear his father cry. And the chorus says, turn your heart toward home, turn your heart toward home. You've been gone so long, turn your heart to home. I don't have the other two verses, but the next verse talks about fathers and mothers that have said their goodbyes. And it said, through the sad eyes of children, if the parents could only hear their cries of turn your heart towards home. But the last verse, it says there are fathers and mothers that have never said goodbye, but it said in their hearts, they're a million miles away. They'd never said goodbye, but in their hearts, they're a million miles away. Lord, help us today to turn our hearts towards being emotionally connected, seeking closer relationships, asking God to, and it takes a lot of humility on our part, but being able to humble our hearts before God, and I believe the Lord can help us. But if we start feeling a distance, and Lord, help us not to allow that to grow. The enemy, I believe, is seeking so hard for emotional distancing in our lives today. He wants to separate people. He wants us to not be connected towards one another. And I also think about the scripture wherein there in the Malachi, it talked about John the Baptist, his preaching. He said it would turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. And the fathers, the hearts of the fathers to their children. Lord, help us today to, you know, relationships is really what it's all about, isn't it? Isn't that what makes life richer and better? Is it material things? It's not. It's not the bank account. It's not you know, just the feats and things that we've done. But it's the relationships in our life that makes life richer and our relationship with God. Jesus also mentioned that one place. He said, when you come and offer your gift and you remember that your brother has aught against you, he said, go be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. You know, our relationships are very vital, important to God today. And God wants them to be important to us. So in the time of social distancing, let's not allow the enemy to emotionally distance us from one another. Appreciate your attention.